2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, it is Pride Month, and joining me is committed history buff and content creator Jane Casey, who's been sharing important LGBTQ plus stories from the past on her TikTok. Jane, happy Pride. Thank you for coming back into us.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be back.
Well, so happy to have you back in, because the last time that you were here, you were talking about all the different weird histories around the country, and we actually ended up doing an entire thing the following day on the Wake Museum.
Yes. Amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah.
You're in for a completely different reason, but still history, because we're going right back to the 1700s on this one. Before we get into some of your stories, what gave you the idea to bring them to life on your feed, on your personal TikTok?
Yeah, well, I mean, for people who follow me, you might know that I do just general Irish history content. I've been doing it for about 2 years. I think I've made like 200 videos. And it just occurred to me that I have never covered any LGBTQ history, which is weird because I'm gay and I'm involved in the community. And it just hit me that how much of our history is buried. And the only reason I haven't covered anything is because it's quite difficult to find. And it doesn't pop up in mainstream history. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I decided to do a bit of digging and kind of pick out some characters that I guess progressed the Pride movement, but also, you know, were so brave in their time to live their lives. And I think a lot of people don't know these stories, and representation is so important.
Well, let's go back to over 100 years ago to a major event that happened, Jane.
Yeah, well, I guess probably the biggest, I guess, historical moment in Irish history is the 1916 Rising.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important. And we often hear names like Padraic Pearse, Éamon Cant, all those guys who absolutely were heroes. But what we don't hear is about how many women were involved in the Rising, and in particular, women in same-sex relationships. So there was a group called, now I might butcher this, Inina Hanna Héireann. There's a lot of GHDHs in there. It's old Irish, but the Daughters of Ireland. And it was a radical group of women aimed at opposing British British imperialism. And two women were members, and they met through it, Kathleen Lynn, Dr. Kathleen Lynn, and Madeleine French Mullen. And we know from private letters and different correspondence that they were in a relationship with each other. Dr. Kathleen Lynn ended up being the chief medical officer for the 1916 Rising.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And French Mullen, she was a lieutenant in the Rising, so they both served. They were among 70 women who were then arrested, brought to Kilmainham, and they were separated. And famously, Dr. Kathleen Lynn said, "I would give £10,000 to be reunited with Madeleine French Mullen." And then Madeleine said, what did she say? "I could face prison without fear if I was reunited with my dear Kathleen."
Oh my God.
They're eventually released, and they ended up living together for 30 years in Rathmines. And they went on to open the first paediatric hospital in Ireland, St. Alton's. And they released TB vaccines. They introduced TB vaccines to Ireland.
This is huge.
Huge. Saved countless children's lives. This was, over 100 years ago. But the building of St. Alton's Hospital is still there. It's a hotel chain now. It's on Charlemont Street in town. But it's such an amazing, beautiful love story. And, you know, there's a lot of women like that. They're just two I picked out that dared to be who they were. You know, they were very, it was an open secret that they were in a relationship with each other. They didn't really have words like lesbian back then. They just loved each other, and they committed to each other and did incredible things. So,
this is absolutely wild, because like, I've never, until this very moment, I've never heard of these
two women. It should be a movie.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening,
get it on Netflix ASAP. What about Dr. James Barry? Because I'm going to be honest, the name doesn't ring a bell for me.
Dr. James Barry, I wasn't familiar with his name either up until recently. So he is seen as an early trans figure in Ireland. So he was born in 1780, so really early, and he became quite a well-respected surgeon in the British Army. It was only after he passed away did they find out that he was actually assigned female at birth.
Okay.
Which is very sad to think, you know, he had to live his life completely, you know, I guess, hiding like that about his identity. Now, some say that maybe he was concealing his gender because he wasn't allowed to practice medicine if he was female. But later on, you know, there's been research on him that that he most likely would have identified as trans had he lived now. And there was a number of other Irish trans people. There was a guy called Patrick McCormack. He was a famine survivor. He lived in Dublin as a labourer. There was another guy called Edward Evans de Lacy, and he went over to Australia, married a woman on the boat over, and became the first known transgender person in Australia. Which is incredible. And I guess it's important to say this because so many people think that, you know, being gender fluid or trans is like this new thing. Yeah. And it so isn't. It couldn't be more wrong. In fact, you know, there's mentions of people who are transgender or gender fluid going back to like ancient civilizations, you know, Southeast Asia, Greece, Rome. And they're often seen as like godlike almost. They're revered. Even there's some research into maybe the Druids were seen as transgender as well. Or some of them may have been transgender or gender fluid. So really what's modern is
the language.
Well, the language, but also intolerance.
Yeah.
And it was only because of, you know, religious expansion and colonization that I guess, you know, people started persecuting transgender and gender fluid people. So it's definitely not a new thing.
No.
It's very, very old. And it's just incredible to see, you know, such a movement now to kind of get their identity back in their rightful place in society.
But this is why conversations like this are incredibly important, and all the stuff that you were putting out online and talking about it right here too, because again, I would know nothing about Dr. James Barry had you not brought it to us today. To much more modern times and a very troubling incident that happened in 1982. Can you tell me about what happened?
Yeah, this is incredibly tragic, incredibly sad. So there was a young man named Declan Flynn who was walking through Fairview Park, and he was attacked by a group of five teenagers. He was brutally beaten and eventually died. The five teenagers were arrested. They said they admitted that they're out queer bashing, that they were trying to rid the park of gays.
Oh my God.
Horrendous, absolutely brutal. But what's even worse is that the judge presiding over the case said there's no way what these teens did could be classified as murder, that they were doing a community service and that they came from good families.
Oh my God.
So they all received suspended sentences. Now, as horrible as it is, even just talking about it, I'm like, God, can you imagine? That's only 40, 50 years ago. But what happened was that galvanised the LGBTQ community in Ireland, and it gave way to the first really publicly visible march through Dublin City to Fairview Park. And that's where we get Dublin Pride, you know. The concept that it's a parade is very, very new. Even when I was a teenager, when I was like 16, I'd be going in. That's like 2006, 2007. It was a march. Like, you'd be going into the march and you'd be joining in.
Yeah.
So it's still very, very new that it's like this celebration, this parade. And it's still so important, though, because there is still a lot of shame around people's identities, their sexuality. And where there's shame, there has to be pride. It's the antithesis, you know. So many people don't realise that that's actually
how
Dublin Pride all started. Yeah.
It's incredibly upsetting. And even just to hear the language that was used at the time and how, like, well, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Awful.
You mentioned the Hirschfeld Centre in your feed. What was that?
So the Hirschfeld Centre, it was one of Ireland's first community centres. It was opened on St. Patrick's Day in 1979. It was a safe space for LGBTQ plus people. Now, if you can take yourself back to like 1980s Ireland, right? Middle of Temple Bar, it's where it was, Fane Street. You're right in the middle of the AIDS crisis. Obviously, being gay was completely illegal. There's still massive stigma. So to open up a community centre and a safe space, you know, it was really groundbreaking, really groundbreaking. There was a disco there called Flickers. Senator David Norris would talk a lot about this. So you should get him on. He's got gas stories about his nights at Flickers. There was a cafe. There was a little resource library. There was a phone line. But unfortunately, in 1987, it was burnt down in a suspected arson attack.
Oh, God.
Again, showing the times, you know. But I just love to mention that because, you know, what bravery. You know, people who were living in Dublin, living in the country even, they had no lifeline. There was no internet. They didn't even know people like them existed outside of their own circles. So to have this place where they could come together and meet other people like them, oh my God, it's incredible. Like, the bravery to set that up. So it's incredible.
And to be able to talk to other people openly about how you feel and who you are. And it's so bizarre to think now, you know, in 2025, when we're so open with our conversations and, you know, we talk about like pride regularly, as you said, like as a parade, as opposed to a march. It's just absolutely insanity to me to think that that was in, you know, the 1980s and this was the reality of it at the time. Finally, Jane, there was a very big event just 10 years ago. It only seems like yesterday though, doesn't it?
Oh, stop. 10 years ago, decade ago, I can't believe it. So 10 years ago, as of last month, Ireland became the first country in the world to legalise same-sex marriage by the popular vote.
It's not so proud.
Oh, so it was phenomenal. Honestly, Laura, it was the best day of my life. Yeah. Like, it really was. I was 25. Up until that point, I never envisioned getting married. Yeah. It just never was something that... I've been gay forever. Like, a fancy girl since I was, like, in, you know, junior infants. You know what I mean? So I never envisioned myself getting married because I wasn't going to marry a guy. So yeah. I'm never getting married. All of a sudden, that all flipped at age 25, just as I'm getting into that, you know, stage of my life. And it just felt like such a validation and a warm hug from the nation. And it's amazing to think that, you know, we were the first tiny little country, and to think of how Catholic we were and, you know, how much we changed in just a couple of years. It's amazing. But I will say, and I really want to say this, I think a lot of people think, or at least I'm getting comments on my feed and on my videos saying, but sure, you guys, you're all equal now. Stop shoving it down people's throats. And the reality is yes, we have gay marriage. That's amazing. But we're not fully equal. There's still lots of discrepancies in legal entitlements, like in terms of parental entitlements. There is obviously the trans community faces so much barriers to gender affirmative care and just discrimination. There's still homophobic attacks. There's still transphobic attacks. And as I said, for as long as there is shame, there will be pride, you know, and I can't wait to, you know, get to a moment where even now I can't walk down certain areas of town holding my girlfriend's hand because I'm like, is someone looking at me? You know, and yes, we've made amazing strides, but it shouldn't be like that. It should be a non-issue. It should be not political at all. Not even a, well done there, gay, holding hands. I don't even want that.
Yeah.
So look, we did amazing things and there's amazing things coming. We're a great little country. But yeah, oh God, that was the best day of my life, I think.
I think it will be. And like, you know, I think as someone who is straight, I was so proud to vote yes and vote and be like, it was so bizarre to me growing up my whole life how that was even a law and that was even an issue. Jane Casey, thank you so much for coming
thank you for having me.
No, honestly, enjoyed it so much fascinating stuff. If people want to check you out, where can they find you on TikTok?
I'm at janecasey.ie on TikTok and Instagram.
Fantastic stuff. Again, history buff and content creator Jane Casey, that's yourself.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.